has given me the tongue of a disciple and is one who is taught that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as a disciple, as one who is taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I have not been rebellious, nor have I turned backward. Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place. Holy Spirit, I just ask you to come now and manifest yourself whichever way you see fit to use this vessel, Lord, to bring your word to your children. Father, I ask that you'd open up our ears to be able to hear you, and that you'd open up our eyes that we might be able to see you in the Spirit. Father, I realize many people have come here tonight, Lord God, with different needs and different concerns and just different, everybody has a different battle that they're in right now. But Father, I ask that you bring clarity to the battle today, Lord God, that they would leave here today, Lord, with information from on high to not be able to be successful in their battles, Lord, but Lord, that their minds, Lord, would be totally the mind of Christ, would be totally operating in its full capacity in their lives. I ask you this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, let's start with Matthew chapter 22. This is Jesus here speaking to his disciples. And they're asking him a question, "Teacher, which kind of commandment is great and important?" I'm in Matthew 22, verse 36. "Teacher, which kind of commandment is great and important in the law?" And he replied to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and most important principle and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And in the book of Mark, chapter 12, Jesus is saying the same thing, or asked the same question. And Jesus, in verse 29, and Jesus answered, "The first principal one of all the commands is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord of God, the Lord is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God out of and with your whole heart and out of and with all your soul and out of and with all your mind, with your faculty of thought and your moral understanding, and out of and with all your strength. This is the first and principal commandment." That's interesting here. I'm looking at we're reading that he's talking about loving God with all of your mind, you know, your faculty of thought. And I want to talk tonight about something that I see. First of all, I want to expose the enemy and what he's doing in the earth, and something that you need to be aware of for two reasons. One is for your own personal life, and the other is for your ministries and people that you're going to be ministering to, because you're going to walk into a lot of people that have mental problems in these last days, in case you hadn't noticed. And there's a reason for that. And so I just want to make sure that we understand that Jesus is here talking about, he's giving us these commands. And you know, it says in the Proverbs 23, verse 7, says, "As a man thinketh, so is he. As in his heart, so is he." And as you think, it becomes your identity, your perception, your direction, your self-image, your feelings, how you see yourself. I can go on and on and on. Your thought life is who you are. It really is. And everybody has thoughts in here. And if nobody has any thoughts, I want you to come here right now and pray for you. Okay? Some of you think too much, okay? But I really want to really zero in on some things tonight, so that when you leave here, and this is, you know, walking with the Lord is a wonderful experience in life. He's always teaching us, okay? But our mind, let's face it, our mind gets a little bit out of control at times, does it not? And I didn't realize that when I first started walking with the Lord, that he really was after more than just me serving him. He was after my thoughts. And I want you to understand that God is after your thoughts. And as I get done through this tonight, I believe that you'll leave here with some revelation. Praise God. In Genesis chapter 6, I want to start there because I want you to see something here that took place. And Jesus said in Matthew 24 that in the last days, or close to his return, will be just like the days of Noah. And there were a lot of things that were going on. I'm not going to get into the Nephilim and all of the things that were going on with the fallen angels and so forth. But in chapter 6 and verse 5 says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination and intention of all human thinking was only evil continually. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination and intention of all human thinking was only evil continually. That's a mind load. Yep. Now, that humanity had a hand in that, but Satan had a hand in it as well. In verse 12, it says, and God looked upon the world and saw how degenerate, debased, and vicious it was, for all humanity had corrupted their way upon the earth and lost their true direction. And God said to Noah, I intend to make an end of all flesh, for though man, through men and land is filled with violence, and behold, I will destroy them and the land. And so we have a situation here where Satan had a hand in flooding humanity with thoughts. And I'm going to point out through Scripture, and many of you already know this, that Satan does, that's how he gets to you and to me. He actually attacks us in our thought life. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1, it says that Satan stood up against Israel and stirred up David to number Israel. He tempted him to number Israel. And God didn't want David to number Israel and to look at his army because he didn't want him to rely on armies or man or anything, but to rely on him. And so God was pretty upset with David that he did that, and there was a terrible price to pay. But Satan stirred up. He imparted his thoughts and tried to manipulate David, okay? And we know that David had a heart after God. We know David was a warrior, and David was a great man of God, yet Satan was able to stir him up. In the book of Acts, chapter 5, let's flip over to there. Chapter 5, verse 3. This is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Then Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart that you should lie and attempt to deceive the Holy Spirit and should withdraw secretly and appropriate to your own use the part of the price for the sale of the land? Actually, let's go up to the first verse here. But a certain man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. And his wife's knowledge, and convenience, he kept back and wrongfully appropriated some of the proceeds, bringing only a part, and putting it at the feet of the apostles. And so Peter goes on and says, why did you allow Satan to fill your heart? So Satan gave them, he messed with Ananias and Sapphira. In this particular situation, it didn't work out too well for either one of them because they both were called home. Now, I would have loved that to happen up in Minnesota this past weekend, that many people got called home when they invaded into that church. Yeah. I can't tell you how angry I was to watch that. It really made me angry. I don't get angry at a lot of things, but that made me angry. And I felt bad for the pastor. And I'd love to have the opportunity for somebody to come in here like that, you know, because you guys are a little more serious. You'd be casting down devils left and right, and you know, you probably have them all on the ground and so forth. So it might be harder for him to get in here than it was into the Baptist church. But I'm not trying to pick on the Baptist. I'm just saying that, you know, this is the kind of power that we need to have in the church. Amen. You just don't walk in to the church and just come into God's house and just do what you want to do. And so we have to, you know, but in this particular situation, Satan stirred up Ananias. So he invaded his mind. They convinced him, you know, we're going to go ahead and give you the money, but we're going to give it to the church, but we're going to hold back some of the, you know, they could have just told him they were going to give him a portion, but I guess they just didn't think that through. Lesson learned. In John chapter 8, verse 43 and 44, let's flip over there. It says, why do you misunderstand what I say? It is because you are unable to hear what I am saying. You cannot bear to listen to my message. Your ears are shut to my teaching. You are the father, the devil, and it is your will to practice the lusts and gratify the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a falsehood, he speaks what is natural to him, for he is a liar and the father of lies and all that is false. This indicates that his desire is to deceive you and me. And so Jesus is just exposing him and what his methods are. And so when there are thoughts that get thrown at you and me from the enemy that are lies, simple as that. They're falsehoods. It's true. In 1 Peter 5:8, let's turn over there. And these are scriptures you're probably familiar with, but I'm just going to lay in a foundation here. It says, be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times. Be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times. For the enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. He devours through false thoughts, weak minds, temptations. He comes at people that are weak. And a lot of times, you know, you and I, we get into situations where we're weak in our life. And, you know, we'd like to say he's not fair, but he does attack us when we're weak. And we'll throw thoughts into our head. And some of these thoughts, they sometimes, the enemy makes it sounds like they're half-truths. You know, he quoted scripture with Jesus, and sometimes he tries to throw things at you and me. That's why it's so important that we stay in the Word and really get familiar with the Word so we can discern those things. But once again, I'm just trying to point out, laying a foundation that what he does. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, for the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers' minds that they should not discern the truth, preventing them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image and the likeness of God. And so he blinds minds. And unbelief is one of the things that he does. He tries to attack you and me with unbelief. Oh, geez, God really said that. Is God really going to do it? I mean, he tries to do these things, okay? And so he's always trying to seek someone to devour. That's what he does. It's just who he is. And so we have to deal with that, okay? We also have to recognize what's going on, because I don't know about you, but for years, I never really thought about too much about my thought life. You know, I didn't realize that I had to actually deal with a thought life, you know? And I didn't understand that some thoughts that I have were not my thoughts. I had thoughts that were masking themselves as my thoughts. And somebody can go really crazy like that. You know, think, oh, I'm messed up, you know? I mean, that's what he does. And so it's the battleground of the mind. Now, what I'm saying to you is this. I believe that we're entering into a time and a season, okay, where there's a real polarization going on. There are people that God's just given people over to a reprobate mind, where, you know, because they don't believe in him and because they're unbelievers, he just gives them over to their desires, okay? But we also have people, the Christians, that he comes out, he tries to blind us. He tries to get us into positions where we don't really believe that God's going to come through. We don't think that God really loves us. I mean, you name it. He does every kind of trick that he can pull on our lives. But he always tries to get us to doubt and get us into unbelief. But there's an attack upon humanity right now. It's being unleashed on this whole entire world. And it's coming on our minds. You've got to be aware of this. Not just to defend yourself from it, but to understand as ministers in Christ Jesus, you will be ministering to people that need to be set free from these types of things that the enemy's trying to do to them. And you got to be aware of it. And you also need to know how to lead them out of it. Because sometimes it's not just a matter of going and just laying hands on somebody and say, you know, be healed or do this or that in Jesus' name. Sometimes it takes teaching. Sometimes it takes discipleship. Sometimes you've got to take a weak person and pull them aside and spend a few days with them or whatever. Open up the Bible and teach them how to to receive from the Lord and teach them about different scriptures and so forth. It's not, sometimes it's not just waving the hand and it's gone. Because when somebody is blinded and it's something that they've been blinded for years, they've got deep roots inside of them that need to be dealt with. It's kind of like watched the Word of the Week where I was talking about where when Lazarus was raised from the dead and Jesus told them to remove the stone. Remove the stone. I thought to myself, why in the world did Jesus tell him to remove the stone? Because the power of God brought Lazarus out of the tomb. Couldn't the power of God move the stone? No, he told them to remove the stone. And those are barriers to me, that we have to remove barriers over people's lives so that they can receive the implanted Word of God. Very important. In James 4:7, now this is salt that is on the body of Christ or on us, is something that, you know, we have to be able to defend ourselves. But this is where the rubber meets the road here, because I don't know about you, but I deal with a lot of people that need a lot of help sometimes. And it's very important that we look at the Word of God real closely, because sometimes we just skip over it. In James chapter 4, that's right, James chapter 4, verse 7. Says, so be subject to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you, okay? And so if we're being attacked in any way, shape, or form, the very first thing he says here, so submit yourself to God. That's the prerequisite. I have a cold, so I'm a little bit, you're going to have to deal with me tonight. So I don't sound like myself. I feel like I'm in a closet right now. But anyway, but we have to understand that we have to submit ourselves first to God to resist the devil. It's not resist the devil and submit. And the truth is that many Christians are not submitted to God. And they're trying to fight the devil, but they're not submitted to God, so they don't get anywhere. And they stay in the same position, the same frame of mind, the same place. They can't make any progress because they don't submit themselves to God, or they don't know how to submit themselves to God. And that's where I kind of was. I was like, well, I see that scripture. Well, how do I submit to you? I want to do what you tell me to do. But God started to deal with my thought life. He started to deal with my mind. He started to say, is your mind renewed? You know, and how do you renew your mind? By getting in the Word. But it's a little bit more complicated than that. And there's also a litmus test, which I'm going to give you tonight, to really determine, is your mind renewed? Because when you realize that it's not renewed, or maybe it's some areas that needs to be renewed, then now you've got a foundation to be able to make some progress to actually get renewed in another area, to get set free so that you can hear clearly. Because sometimes, you know, we hear from God sometimes real clear in our lives, and other times it seems like we don't. And that's all has to do with what's going on in our thought life. But let me tell you, saints, there is a place in the Lord, there is a place, as we know Apostle Paul, where you will get to that place where your mind is renewed, where you look and you really realize what the truth is about life, and you're not no longer moved by all these storms that come your way. In Isaiah 26, let's turn over there real quick. Verse 3, it says, you will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, he leans on you, and hopes in you, confidently in you. Let me read that again. God says, he will guard us and keep us in perfect and constant peace when our mind is stayed on him, because we're committed to him. We lean on him. We hope confidently in him. It just becomes a life of, becomes a reflex of everything that we are. We totally are submitted and lean on God. In Isaiah 43, verse 18, says, do not earnestly remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Many people are caught, the reason why their minds are so messed up at times is they're living in the past. You're going to deal with a lot of this. I'm telling you right now, there are people that you, when you minister, they literally have hooks. It's like a hook in their life. It's like they never, ever got over it. You know, I was ministering to a person recently, and there wasn't anything demonic there, but the person was, I could just tell they were recovering from a trauma in their past. And it, by, you know, it was only by the Holy Spirit that I even knew that, because I asked this person, I said, well, is there, I don't see anything that's demonically dealing with you, but I see a trauma that you've not gotten free from. And the person said, yeah, you're right. And I go, well, that's you're trying to cast out a demon, but there's no demon there. It's a trauma that you haven't gotten over because your mind is back there and things trigger it. You see what I'm saying? But when you have a renewed mind, there's nothing that can trigger your mind when your mind is renewed, because you're totally submitted to God. You're 1,000% in his face in one sense. You're 1,000% with him all the time. You wake up in the morning, you spend time with him. It's a relationship, and it's something that is real. And that relationship gets developed and gets more intimate over the period of years. You should feel closer to Jesus today than you did a year ago or 2 years ago or 3 years ago or whatever, because it's progressive, because he wants that relationship. He wants family. That's why he created us. He wanted a family. Right. And he redeemed us. Praise God. We're family. Exactly. Look to your neighbor and say, we're family.
We're family.
Colossians chapter 3. Your family, we're stuck with each other. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 3. It says, if then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds and keep them set. You know, these are the kind of things that, you know, when I'm in my, you know, on the couch night or whatever, and I'm reading that, and set your minds and keep them set. It's like the Holy Spirit says, you know, it's like I got spiritual ADD. You know, I'm like, he's talking to me, and it's doing right. You know, set your mind and keep it set. Stop looking at the problem over here, okay? I know you want to deal with it, son. I know you're a problem solver, but guess what? Set your mind on me, and we'll work on it together. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes we would like to be our own God. We don't say that. We don't think that, but by our actions, and we're not including him in it, we don't have our mind set. So, and set your minds and keep them set on what is above, not on the things that are on the earth. How plain is that? I love going to that scripture when I'm sitting there and I'm obsessed with some kind of thing I'm trying to solve, or something breaks in the house or whatever it might be. For as far as the world is concerned, you have died, and your new life is hidden in Christ in God. And these are truths. These are truths. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, do not fret or have anxiety about anything. You ever read this stuff and you're like, how in the world can I do that? But you realize that when that word hits you in the face, I have anxiety. I don't want to have it. And here they just, well, great. Tell me, that's good that you're saying that. The Word of God's telling me that, but how do I do that? You know, that's another thing. It says, but in every circumstance, he gives a solution, and by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And so he said, instead of having anxiety, by prayer and petition, with what? With thanksgiving. You know, and then when you approach God, that's one of the ways you approach him, is praising him and thanking him for who he is and what he's done and all the above. That's the way you, one of the ways you enter into his presence. But I love the way it says this: with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God, and God's peace, if you meet those requirements, and God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort it is. Is that God telling me to be content with what my lot is? Of course that's what he's saying. And that is the peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount and guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So the peace beyond understanding doesn't come by just out of the blue. It comes by meeting the requirements of the Word of God. And so the instruction is really clear, but it's something that you and I have got to do. And the reason why I'm telling you this is this assault that's going on the world right now of every believer and every unbeliever, whatever, this assault that's coming from hell can be repelled, and you're going to be ministering to people because you got to give them instruction on how to repel it. Anxiety is a big one. You can have a ministry to anxiety people. You can have a ministry to crazy people. You could. Would you like that? No? I think the person that just said no just got picked. I had a word to say, I don't know who was it, a word to somebody like that once, and they said, you know what, you're right. I don't want that, but that it's okay. They don't want you to stay crazy. You're going to lead them out, right? For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence, whatever is honorable, seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue of excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. I've got the Amplified Bible, so it brings out the Greek there. Practice what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and model your way of living on it, and the God of peace will be with you. So there it is. Think on these things. So let's go to Romans now, 12:2. We'll get into... It says, do not be conformed to this world, this age, but be transformed by the entire renewal of your mind, so that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. That word, do not be conformed to the world. Okay. You and I get assaulted by things in the world that come at you and me, whatever they might be. And they try to conform us. And when you get satanic power behind it, there's a power behind trying to conform you to the world, the way the world thinks, the way the world sees things, you know? And it's an external thing. But the Christian that's born again is transformed from within. So you're not being conformed by, you're being transformed. It's a difference. So these things that are externally coming right now on the planet right now are conforming people into what I call idiots, because you see that displayed up in Minnesota. I mean, these people are nuts. I mean, they're sitting there fighting Americans. Mm-hmm. What are they? They're trying to arrest criminals. We got to stop them from, it's crazy. But that's the way the world was already written. It's already written in the scriptures that the world will become like that. Crazy. They have no rational mind. And so we're going to see more of this. But the thing about it is many of these people need Jesus in a very big way. But we have to be, you know, vigilant in prayer, in love, and trying to get some of these people saved, to get them out of their craziness. So, there are four marks that I want to point out of a renewed mind. so that you can, this is a litmus test. Four marks of a renewed mind. Renewed mind is not self-centered, it's God-centered. It's not motivated by those three verbs, I want, I think, I feel. Instead, it's motivated by God's values, God's purposes, and God's objectives. These now become more important to us than our own. Its desires and its purposes to only do what glorifies God. That is a renewed mind. It does not ask, will this help me? What can I get out of this? It asks, will God get glory out of this? I'm going to say that again. It does not ask, will this help me? What can I get out of this? It asks, will God get glory out of this? So a lot of your decisions and what you do, especially in your relationships and how you relate to people and so forth, how you act towards them, how is God going to get glory out of it? Very, very important, because what that does is it gives you the ability how to approach individuals to be able to totally serve the Holy Spirit to them, versus if you're trying to get something out of them, you have a totally different mindset. And you can't control people, in case you haven't noticed. I stopped controlling the world. I don't know if you noticed that either. You can't control the world. Amen? But you can, you do have self-control in the Lord. And so it's very important to understand when you approach any of these things with a renewed mind, how will God get the glory out of this? It is not proud or self-seeking. It says what is written in Romans 12:3. Let's look at that real quick. It says, for by grace given to me, I warn everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought. I warn everyone among you. Well, there's a warning coming from Paul. We need to listen to him. I warn you, everyone among you, not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought to have, not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance. It is not proud or self-seeking. Jesus in Matthew chapter 20, let's turn over there real quick. I'm going to be getting into this a little bit more a couple weeks. In Matthew chapter 20. Verse 25. And Jesus called them and said to them, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men hold them in subjection. Not so shall it be among you. But whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man came not to be waited on, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's our attitude. That is the sign of a renewed mind. I'm doing really good. I'm following my notes. I'm not going down a rabbit trail, so. This is another distinctive mark of a renewed mind. It's not looking for opportunities to rule, but to serve. Today in our modern culture, it's pretty unpopular to serve. Everybody wants to be their own boss. Everybody wants to have their own rights. Everybody wants to steer their own course, their own interest. But that's not the renewed mind. It's not what I can get, it's what I can give. It doesn't seek to exalt itself, but to humble itself. The third mark, a renewed mind, that is to be sober and realistic. That's, and that's in that Romans 12, chapter 3, or excuse me, 12, verse 3. It says here, it says, "But to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned to him by God." So the third mark is to be sober and realistic. Paul says in Romans 12, 3, "The renewed mind is sober and realistic. It avoids two extremes, fantasy and wishful thinking, and on the other hand is self-deprivation and depression." You know, teenagers, if you got one, I've got one. One of the problems they can have is they can eagerly indulge in fantasy or wishful thinking, but also they become easily depressed, and often they will isolate themselves and shut off. Have you ever seen a teenager do that? I have. I've worked with a lot of athletes like that. I mean, I really have. These are not consistent with the renewed mind. And so it's very important to understand that it's the being sober is being realistic, you know? And we have many people, I mean, being sober is something that, there's a lot of problems in the United States with that. There just is. And if people are in all kinds of different addictions and stuff like that, and being sober is just, you know, when you don't have Jesus, a lot of people, they medicate themselves. Or if they got a problem, they medicate themselves. And I'm not trying to knock people down, okay? Don't misunderstand me. I'm trying to tell you that Jesus is the answer and the solution to all these problems. And to lead people to the Lord and get them to renew their minds, gets them not just to a place of peace, but it gets them free. Most people that have addictions, I would say almost all of them, don't want to be like that. You know, they end up hating themselves many times. And they need to be set free. And Jesus has set so many people free in that arena. I've been set free from stuff. And I mean, I know everybody else has been in this room as well. So it's just something that we have to realize. The fourth mark of a renewed mind, and this one isn't so easy to understand, so kind of walk with me on this. And I'm still in Romans 12, verse 3. It says, "But to the rate his ability with sober judgment, each one according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him." So I want you to understand that you've got a degree of faith that God has apportioned to you. That faith can grow, but you have a faith that, you know, a measure of faith, okay, that God has given to you. Okay, Jesus did say, "He who has more shall be given to him," if he uses it, okay? But you have a degree of faith, okay? So the renewed mind stays within the proportion and measure of given faith. It doesn't make unrealistic boasts or claims. It doesn't claim to have a faith that isn't real. This is the renewed mind. A common thing for religious people who fancy themselves as spiritual, to try and believe for more than they really can believe. This can create many problems. Let me explain that. This can happen in the area of healing, okay? And I can use myself as an example, but I've seen so many people over the years, I can just say it the way it is, okay? I've seen people who did not go to the doctor, okay, because they believed that God was going to heal them. Now, I'll back anybody that believes God's going to heal them. That's just where I'm at. That's just who I am. If somebody believes God's going to heal them, that's just where I'm at. But I've seen people get hurt because they didn't go to the doctor, because they didn't have the measure of faith they have was not there yet, okay? But God provides different ways to be healed. I mean, I wouldn't stand, I had this, I don't know what it was. It was a lipoma, is that what it was, Mom? Lipoma. It was like a growth in my neck, and it started getting big. And when I was over in South Africa preaching, it grew over there, and it was starting to go into my cut off my airway. And my last time ministering there was in this huge church, and I didn't know if I could do it. I mean, I'm saying, God, you know, you got to get rid of this thing or take it out or whatever, you know. And so But I had to get it taken out, and the surgeon did take it out. And when they took it out, and I had a prophecy given to me when I was over in South Africa. So when I came back and I was going to be operated on, I always get a little nervous when being operated on that, you know, I just do. I don't know about you, but I just get a little nervous about it. You know, I just don't like going out and going under. I don't like being messed with. I just don't like it. But I knew that I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for doctors, because back in 1982, I had a disease called ITP. It looks like leukemia. It's not leukemia. But when the blood was going through my spleen, the white blood cells were killing off my red blood cells. And it was back in 1982. And so, but it looked like leukemia. And so I came back from competing in a competition in California. When I came back, I had red dots all over my body. And 2 months prior, I was diagnosed with shingles on my arm, and the doctor said they're going to get worse before they get better. And so I was really, I was kind of freaking out about that. So when I came back from diving, I had these red dots all over me. I thought, well, this shingles are out of hand. They're going crazy. And so I said, what am I going to do here? So I went to the doctor that day, and the doctor goes, he said, well, he's looking at me, so I want you to go see a blood specialist. So I go from my doctor to a blood specialist, and then the blood specialist says, I want to put you in a hospital, but they're not telling me what's going on. I have no idea. And all of a sudden, I'm on a cancer floor, and I recognize, I knew at least that much. And then I'm thinking, and all these nurses are thinking that I'm going to be gone because my platelet count is so low on my red blood cells. And I'm thinking, well, that's it. I'm going to go. I had a nice life. I'm 23. Everything's been great, you know. And then, but all of a sudden, it hit me. Said, man, I got something I got to do still. And that was the Lord. You know, I mean, I had a relationship with Jesus. I didn't know much about the Bible, but I had a relationship. And I guess he got through. And it was a demonic attack, and there probably were reasons why the demons were attacking me, probably the way I was behaving. But you know, I had a dream, and in that particular dream I saw the spirit come at me, and it had a knife in its hand, and said, sweet Jesus, came to stab me. And I woke up, and I go, man, I'm only going to die. I'm having these terrible nightmares, you know. It was really rough. But it turned out that it was my spleen, that's where it was all going on. It wasn't cancer. And so a doctor took my spleen out, and everything went back to normal. And so, you know, when I had this thing, you know, choking on me, you know, I realized I had to do something about it. So I had an operation, and the doctor pulled it out, and I was supposed to take like 30 minutes. It's supposed to be an in and out thing. And I'm in there for 3 hours, and Kara's working on her computer, and she's kind of, man, this is taking a long time. And the doctors came out. What had happened is it was near my jugular, I guess, and it started to bleed, and they couldn't get the bleeding stopped. So they had to bring a specialist in to stop the bleeding. And anyway, but they took it out. And I mean, you can't even see the scar or anything. It was really well done. But the thing about it is, I thank God that I had that prophecy, because I knew I was going to get through it, you know. But when I came out of it, and they kept me there another day, I was supposed to be in and out. So it was kind of a complicated thing. But what I'm saying is this: I'm thankful for the doctors. I wasn't yet there where I could just, you know, my portion of faith wasn't at the place yet where I, you know, I could believe for that. I'm not saying, but I'm telling you that's me, you know. Now, if I was attacked with something else, I would handle it maybe differently today or whatever. But I'm going to stay here and be here and take care of this body as long as I can make it here. I'm on assignment here. And if I don't have the faith to be healed by God at that point in time, then I'm going to go to a doctor. I understand. Because I'm not going to let Satan take me out. I have responsibility to stay here and do everything to take care of this vessel. It's not mine anyway. I'm just saying. But I'm saying that I've seen people who've not received that, but I've also seen people get healed miraculously. There was a woman at Newberry, and this was after I had seen the Lord in a dream. In this particular dream, and the way the Lord, and some of you maybe have seen the Lord in a dream, I don't know. Everybody has their story. I'm able to share this dream anyway. And it was all tailored to me. You know, I was a diving coach, springboard diving, and I'm in the dream, I'm at a pool. And there's a fence around this pool, and so I saw a crowd over there off the side of the pool, and I knew that Jesus was there. I just knew it. My dream. And so I come walking up, and there's two huge lifeguards at the gate. And I'm kind of looking in. I don't think I can go in there. I'm just kind of looking because they were intimidating, very intimidating. And so I was just kind of looking. And one of the angels, like I said, they're angels or whatever, said, "Hey, you can go in here. Disciples are allowed to come in here." And I walked in. I never, ever thought of myself as a disciple. I never had that thought. And so I came in there, and I go around the pool, and all of a sudden, this crowd that was around Jesus kind of parted. And there Jesus is with these holding these two people right here. He's looking at both of them, and I could tell that they had disease or something was wrong with them or whatever. And he looked at them and he looked at me. He didn't speak, but I could hear him in my thoughts, I guess. And he was saying, he says, "I'm about healing the nations. Now you go heal the nations." And out of that dream, and then I had this meeting up in Newberry. Forget the pastor's name, Chuck somebody. And there were a lot of people there, and the prophecy was going just all over the place. And there were two things that happened there that night that just surprised me, shocked me actually. This one lady came up and she had hepatitis, I don't know which one it is, C or whatever, it's the lethal one. And she was a nurse and had been, or maybe she was working in the lab or whatever, and something broke. And it contaminated her, and she's telling me this, and so I'm sitting there, and I go, "We're going to go to the doctor, and they're not going to be able to find it." And as soon as I said that, I go, "What the heck did you just say? Who are you?" I was almost gagging after that, and I'm like, "Oh," and she was all happy, and she left, and it happened. She gets healed. But the funny thing about that whole thing is that I'm closing the meeting out, and I asked if anybody needed healing. And this woman was in a wheelchair, and she'd come up behind me, and I didn't see her. And so I'm closing the meeting, and she's yanking on my coat. She goes, "Are you going to pray for me?" And she's going like that. I could tell she had a stroke. And I go, "Oh, yeah, I'll pray for you." So I pray for her. And the power of God hit this lady, and she starts coming out of her chair, and she starts smiling like this, and she's starting to praise God. And I'm sitting there going, "Oh, my God." I'm thinking, "Man, just settle down. You're going to have another stroke." Nobody knows this except me, man of faith.
Now I feel so bad.
So you learn. Now, I don't know what the measure of faith was there, but see, there's also the gift of faith. So I don't rule anything out. But I'm telling you this because I want you to have a balance. There's so many people that are not balanced and wackos in the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, they're out there. I see them all the time, okay, and I just want to tweak them, you know, in a nice way, in love, you know, because if there's balance and the mind is renewed properly, then some of these things that happen, the people won't think we're crazy Christians anymore. You know what I'm saying? They're gonna think that anyway, but you know what I mean. I went on. Sorry, I went down a rabbit trail, Lewis. I'm back. Okay, so. Habakkuk 2. I'll wait till you get there. I'm just kidding you. You'd be looking through the, you know, the major prophets we can find, some minor ones that are hard. It's page 1003. I can't even speak tonight. Anyway, 1351. So anyway, it says here, "Look at the proud. His soul is not straight or right within him. But the just and the uncompromisingly righteous man shall live by his faith and in his faithfulness." Faith is humble. Faith is humble. It's the first time you probably heard that. Because we don't think of it like that. We think of faith. No, faith is humble. It's belief. It's reality, but it's humble. Faith does not have a big I and a small God. Faith has a big God and a small I. We have to move in proportion to our God-given faith. Because when you do, you get more. But you can't get out there, you know? and you had to be reeled back in. I've been out there before. I mean, you know, if I got up here and prophesied tonight that there'll be no more summer ever, we know that's not going to happen. But people are saying things on TV all the time. I saw somebody the other day on YouTube that they had a dream that Donald Trump was assassinated. Now, okay, I don't want to call her up. I'm starting to research where this person was because I want to say, I see a dream. I want to know, I saw it. But I want you to know, I'm out here. I'm going to hold you accountable for what you said if it doesn't happen, because that's a false prophecy. I mean, everybody has dreams, you know what I mean? But I don't know what she meant by that, but I just thought that was really strange, you know? And it upset me, and that was after I saw the crowd in Minnesota, so I was on a roll that night. Just because people, we don't hold anybody accountable anymore. We get crazy Christian stuff out there, and we're attracted to it sometimes because we want a move of God. But let me tell you something, saints. You can have a move of God inside you every single day. You have a relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What more is there? There isn't any more. It is the ultimate thing. He is in you. In that reality of Christ within you and the potential of what that could be and will be is awesome. And that is what needs to be developed. It's okay to have great meetings and worship and roll around the floor and do some spiritual gymnastics every now and then. That's okay. But when it gets weird and wacko out there, it causes a lot of people to not come towards the Lord because we know that God can represent himself. Very well, okay? But let's face it, many people look at you and me, and that's how they determine whether they believe or not. And there are a lot of people that, think that we just want to judge them all the time. You know, and we do sometimes, but I'm just saying that that's what they think of us. But they don't know the God of love. But see, when you operate within the parameters of your faith and you grow within what that measure of faith that God has given you and you renew your mind and you walk that out, you start to realize that you are sufficient in Him and you don't need anything on this planet to make yourself happy. You are content in Him because you have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He manifests Himself within you and gives you complete peace. I mean, peace beyond understanding. So when the storm comes or anything that comes your way, oh, that's a slight affliction. And you can talk like that, but it's another thing to walk it out and really experience it. So when the storm is shaking you and you're just like, it doesn't matter. I'm going to heaven no matter what, and I love you, Lord, and I can take anything this whole world, any of the world can throw at me. That's why Stephen could sit there and take rocks in the head. Or every other guy got hit. I mean, and he's sitting there telling him, hey, I forgive you, forgive him. I mean, that made him madder, I'm sure. But that's just the way that it is. It is a real thing. You are going to go to heaven, and there's nothing that can stop you. There's nothing that can snatch you out of His hands. He owns you. We have to surrender completely to Him. And when you really think about it, when Jesus came to this earth, He came and conquered. And we have surrendered. When we surrender to Him. And then when Paul said that verse where it says, He leads us in triumph, he is talking about a Roman general leading in triumph, and all his spoils are behind him. And that's what we are. We are the spoils. And the bounty of Jesus Christ is all humanity. He is after everyone on this planet. He wants, it's his family. Faith has a big God and a small I. Faith is humble. Last scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 5. Insomuch we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Capturing thoughts. That's part of your training. The Holy Spirit's training you in that one arena. He's saying, are you gonna obey me? I mean, that's how he talks to me. You gonna obey me in capturing your thoughts, or are you just gonna teach it? I mean, I'm just being honest with you. It's like when some of these things that the Lord leads me to teach, I gotta do it. So I'm not teaching. I mean, you can get some real slick people. They have great speakers. They can teach, and man, they got some great stuff, and then they don't walk an inch of it out. It ain't that way with me. I am subject to this word. And so, you know, are you going to obey me? Are you going to capture thoughts? So I guess what I spend my day capturing thoughts. Now, it's easy when it's the thoughts of the Lord that are coming to me because I can discern them, okay? But if something negative comes into my mind and I'm just like, well, whatever, I'm just eating a sandwich or whatever, and I don't do anything about it, I just let it just ping pong in my mind. See, part of obeying the Lord is actually capturing your thoughts, and I never thought of it that way, ever. And so does that mean I've been disobeying you when I haven't been capturing my thoughts for all those years? Yep. Okay, yes, sir, I'm gonna start doing it. And man, it changed me. My daughter recently, I'm getting better at it, I think, because my daughter recently told my wife, Kara, says, Dad, what's Dad? Why is Dad so happy all the time now? It's like, it's what's happening to him? And then and my wife's going, I don't know, but I like it. I get gold stars all the time. It's amazing, you know, but if you start capturing your thoughts, because see, when I come to you or I come to an individual, I'm kind of thinking that way, you know, well, how can I serve? It's like, earlier I felt like I need to go back and just give Lewis a little pat on his shoulder back there. I don't know what he's going through, but I had to serve him. I was almost petting him like a dog, but it wasn't like that, but it was similar to that. Because I started realizing after a few pats, I go, God, it's like I'm treating my cat here, you know? But, you know, when we start serving people in the Holy Spirit, I mean, we're coming, we want to bring God into people's lives. And even the minute little conversations that we have, you know? When you renew your mind to the fact that your thoughts matter, you will begin to detox your mind, brain, and switch over from fear, worry, and anger to power, love, and a sound mind. Begin to be intentional about paying attention to every single thought that comes into your mind. Keep the good and take out the bad. Capture it. And keep your mind fixed on Jesus. If you do this, your life and faith will go to a new level. It's true. There's a remnant. We're the remnant church out there right now that God's raising up. I talked about it last week, and you read Isaiah 4. And Isaiah 4 talked about there's a ministry going forth, and it's going forth right now where Isaiah saw the church in the last days that was being refined through the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. And so you might feel like, and the Holy Spirit's the one that convicts us, right? You might feel that in your life right now, and it's not a condemning thing. It's like light being thrown on something in your life that you need to deal with. And when the burning comes, it's a refining fire. And when you come to the place where you receive and you're willing to allow the Holy Spirit to refine you like that, then what it does is it opens up for a new level of thinking, a new lease on life, I call it. And it changes you. Because you now realize that you've now moved into understanding what your real identity is, what the real purpose is. I mean, you're going to be here 120 years or however long you're going to be here, you know. We don't really know. But we're going to stand before Him one day. And we're going to give an account of our life. It's not going to bring up your sins. But He is going to bring up, did you do what I sent you in the earth to do? Did you accomplish your mission? It doesn't matter when you start to pick that mission up, But the important part is that you do the mission. You know, and so you need to think about that. You need to allow the Lord to really breathe his thoughts into your life. There are people that are around you right now that are in desperate situations. And you've got the power of the Holy Spirit in you, and you can make a difference in their life. When you recognize and realize that your prayers are very, very, very powerful, and you take that opportunity and realize that the fact that I'm meeting this person, the fact that I've seen it is not a coincidence. This is divine appointment. I'm going to take it seriously, go back home. I'm going to call this person's name out, and I'm going to start to intercede for their life. It's so important, because when you become mission-minded, it just revolutionizes everything, because you don't get caught up in the world. I used to think things were important that are not important. There were things I needed to take care of, but they weren't important. You know, because like when I grew up, you know, I was taught, you know, my dad, you know, go make a name for yourself and that type of thing. And you know, go do something, accomplish something. And you know, I got some good parenting and stuff like that. But, you know, the thing about it is, I just realized that, you know, the only thing in this world is just to serve him. That's all there is to it. When you try to make your life, or you got an idea of what you think your life is, you've now been your own God. I'm just telling you, because it's your life is hidden in Christ Jesus. And when you pursue him and you stay in this word and you capture your thoughts and you renew your mind and you do all these things, you get transformed into his image. And that's the goal. And you're going to sound like them. You're going to may not look exactly like them, but internally you will. It's an adventure. It is such an adventure. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, brother. So I'm just going to prophesy over a few people, if that's okay. Amen. I'm a farmer here. I know I heard earlier that you were a farmer. I'm not. That's not a word of knowledge. Are you some kind of agricultural thing? But I was sitting there, I had this kind of drop in my spirit over there that the Holy Spirit has been giving you an idea in what you do of expanding and growing, you know? And there's actually, it's like something that you're actually starting to pursue, but I believe God's going to open up the door and the floodgates, and you're going to be amazed. You are a giver. You are a real giver, and God's going to put things into your hands to give. And this word's going to go deep within your heart, because you're going to realize when this stuff comes, you're going to try to give it away. You know, because you gave when you couldn't give. You gave something, I don't know what it is, the Holy Spirit just telling me this. You gave when you didn't have anything. And you just gave what you had. It's like the person with the mite, you know. But what you did know is you made an investment in the kingdom of God. And God saw that. And that's why he's blessing what you're doing. Amen. He's going to expand it. He's going to give you new ideas. And I see divine connections too. I see help coming to you and giving you more insight. And God's giving you a thirst. And the thing is, the Holy Spirit is actually teaching you in what you do. You know, planting and sowing and all that stuff. I mean, you've got a word that's inside of you too. You have a pastor's heart. And I see flocks of people that you're going to minister to. Amen. Are you guys married? Okay, I have to say, I have to ask. I've messed up before with that. One time somebody was sleeping with somebody too, so that was even worse. Yeah. Yeah, it scared everybody, but I didn't. I'm just doing my job, man. I'm just a delivery boy, right? Okay, if you want it, I'll take it. If you don't want to take it back, praise God. Amen. I just want to encourage you. You know, the thing is that the joy of the Lord is your strength, okay? And joy is not a feeling, okay? It's power. It's power. The joy of the Lord is your strength, okay? And God has kind of done, I could see the Holy Spirit has really worked on you, becoming more of an optimist in your life in these later days. And there's the possibilities and vision. I see vision coming into your life, and where you really be able to sit there and see some things on down the road. You may not have the steps, but you're going to see on down the road, okay, if the Lord tarries. And God has put you guys together, and you balance each other out, you know, and when you're down, he's up, vice versa, whatever. But God's going to cause the intimacy to even grow in a deeper way. because this intimacy is important, because it's intimacy with Him, and it's going to be manifested in your relationship with one another. You have children? How many?
Two.
You have two? A boy?
A 10-year-old boy and a 7-year-old girl.
Ooh. And the boy is, what's his name?
Ronald.
Ronald. Mm. He's fast. A little athlete there. Amen. God's going to really bless him. God is so good. God is so good. You know, there's a, you have a, do you know what the word of knowledge is? Have you heard of the word of knowledge? Word of knowledge is when you get information about somebody or a thing that comes from God that only God knows. People call it deja vu, stuff like that, you know. That is going to start to function in your ministry. And you're going to get around people, you're going to feel the hurt. In fact, it's already been happening, you just weren't even aware of it. And you're going to be drawn, and Jesus was maneuvered with compassion, and he's going to lead you that way. And you felt that times you just have compassion over an individual or a certain situation. It's sometimes it can be very overwhelming, you know. And you're not somebody that does things halfway. You know, you engage all the way, you know. In fact, it's been a problem, but, you know, God's going to use it to your benefit. So I just want to encourage you in that ministry. And the words of knowledge are kind of like what I'm doing right now, okay. I'm saying something. I don't know you. I've never met you. No one's told me anything about you. But I just see these things in your life. And so I just want to encourage you in that ministry. So when you feel like you have compassion for somebody or you have thoughts that come to you, just say what's in your mind. You know what I mean? Because, you know, when you make your life out to bless people and to encourage people, God will put people that need encouragement in front of you. But he wants to give you a gift. You know, that's what's called the gift of the Holy Spirit. They're his gifts, but he gives them to us so that we can work our ministry. And so he's going to be giving that to you. That's going to happen to you. And you're going to be amazed by it. You're going to realize, man, this is a supernatural thing. And I didn't know anything about that person, but all of a sudden I knew that this or that or whatever. And, you know, it's an amazing gift. It really is. And I was over in Czech Republic one time, and there was a woman in this restaurant that was in. She was sitting over there, and you know, I don't speak Czech. You know, and I'm sitting there and I'm just eating to mind my own business. And the Lord said, go over and tell that woman that she's praying to me, but she doesn't know my name. Go tell her my name. And tell her also that I'm going to use her with women's rights. And I'm sitting there, I got this in my head like that. And I'm sitting there going, well, that was just way, I mean, I wasn't even thinking about that. And that kept coming in my head. So I just went over and did it. So I sat down, I'm thinking, this woman didn't speak English. So, I mean, but I'm not going to question God, you know. And so she actually spoke English. And so I sat down and talked to her. I said, look, I'm from America, and I'm over here for a competition. I just wanted to let you know that the Lord told me to come over and talk to you. He said, you've been praying to God, but you don't know his name. He told me to tell you his name is Jesus. And then he wants to use you with women's rights. And that's exactly what she was doing. And she was just blown away. And that's the kind of thing that God wants to do through you. So I just want to encourage you that in Jesus' name. Amen. God is so good. Praise the Lord. Now see, there's a married couple back there, right? That's good. Amen. God is so good. Praise the Lord. You know, my brother, I see a real command with the word of the Lord in you. You know, where you've looked at the Bible and read the Bible, and I see just a real teacher inside of you. And God is giving you a teaching ministry. I don't know if you teach or you've been teaching or whatever in a home meeting or whatever, but I just see teaching coming out of you, practical words, you know, words of wisdom. And words of wisdom is practical application of the word of the Lord. That's what it is. And you move in that very, very fluidly. I want to encourage you in that ministry. And God wants to expand that. In fact, I believe the Lord was going to maybe even give you some ideas about reaching out evangelistically, even to people, and there's not going to be a hesitancy. It's like, I don't know, you just maybe the point, maybe you're at the point in your life where you just don't care anymore, like some people are. You know, I'm just going to do. I just believe. I love God. I'm going to tell anybody I want about it. I just really see that fear of stepping out being removed, where you just really right put yourself right in the fray of the war. So I just want to encourage you in that ministry. I believe that the Lord. I don't know if you've ever prayed for the sick. But I hear the word of a gift of healing. The Holy Spirit is going to be giving to you. And you're going to come across some people that are sick. And I see you in a hospital, and I see you just laying hands, nothing, no religious gymnastics, you know, you're holding up the hand and Jesus be healed. It's just going to be just kind of like just a touch. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And it doesn't, and it's not everything I lay hands on is immediate. Sometimes it's a progressive healing, but it can be immediate. But I see the Lord using you that way. And I see your relationship just digging way down deeper. I see roots just going really, really deep in the things of God. And God's going to bless your life. He has blessed you, man. You've been blessed in your life. And you say that to Him. And you have a real thankful heart that's inside of you. And what you don't realize is that thankfulness, even when it's not even communicated, it's a heart thing. And you've touched the heart of God, and God is manifesting Himself to you. There's the you know, where God's everywhere, but then we have the manifest presence of God. And you're going to start experiencing this. It's a wonderful thing. And it happened to me last night, thank God, because I was not feeling too well. I got like a hard time breathing. So I just started praising Him. But all of a sudden, I just felt super strong, like I've been lifting weights all day long. And I've been walking around. I'm walking around my house praising God. And I know the cat was getting weirded out over me, but I didn't care. So, you know, but I just see a real strength inside of you that really God is going to manifest Himself to you. You know, it's like, I say this a lot. It's like I can't tell you when He's going to come. I don't know when it's going to happen. It just happens. It's not like I'm super in prayer or anything. He just shows up. And I know He's there because it's like everything around me is just peace. And I recognize, I stop and I stand still and I know that He's God. And this is going to happen to you many, many times. And you're going to get words. And some of these dreams that you have are really need to be interpreted. So next time you get one, try to write it down and get it to somebody who has their interpretation, because they mean things. God is so good. I just want to give you a word of encouragement too. Amen. It's not been an easy road, you know, but I see the Lord strengthening you, okay? And, you know, I see Him coming and just really undergirding you and strengthening you, and He's kept you. And I just see the enemy has tried to hurt you at times, and God has protected you, and I see the shield of faith coming up. You're a real warrior. You will pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. That's that intercessor ministry that you've got. I just want to encourage that. Let it grow. Amen. And just, you know what? If the church is out of whack, well, you know, it was out of whack back when Jesus was there too. Yeah. So, you know, you might be in situations where you gotta pray it back in line or whatever, and, you know, give grace. And sometimes God just puts us on assignment, you know, where we see something that needs to be corrected and we can't really speak to it, but we can go and pray about it, you know. I know exactly, I'm in your world, man. I know exactly what you're talking about. But sometimes things change and sometimes they don't. But somebody sits there and will take the time to pray, because God loves His church. He really does. Amen. God is so good. I have that leopard skin. I've never met you before, have I? Praise God. Am I taking all your prophecies, Lewis? Would you come up? Okay. All right. Take every one of them. Well, come on up here, brother. Okay. All right. See, I know he needed to be patted back there earlier. God is so good. Praise Jesus. I just want to give you a word of encouragement. I see you like in a real test. You know, God, we go through tests at times, you know, and I see you, you're in a test. And it's a testing of your faith, but you're not going to waver, you're not going to run away, but you just want answers, you know, when, how, come, and why, you know. It's like you get before the Lord and you want some understanding right now, some clarity, I guess is really what I'm trying to say, okay. And God is going to bring clarity to the situation because you can put His light on the situation, okay. But so you're engaged in it in a way where it's you know, we talk about confirming how the world conforms us. This situation is trying to conform you. But I think tonight you heard something here. It's going to change your strategy. And you're going to step back and realize, you know, I'm going to let go of that. I think what I'm going to go ahead and do is renew my mind right now. It's going to shelve that. And I'm going to get, till I get clarity, I'm not going to try to solve the situation. Does that make any sense? Because once you've got the information, once you've got the green light, you know, I've been waiting on the Lord for, gosh, months on something. And I just couldn't get the answer. And I started to realize that, why am I doing this? You know, it's like He heard me the first time. you know? So I think maybe out of my persistence, you know, he'll come down and, you know, and light a, you know, tell a cricket to talk to me or whatever, and he'll guide me. And none of that was working, you know? Because all he wanted me to do is just trust. That was what he was telling me. He didn't want me to, it says, if I don't give you the solution, whatever it is, just trust me. I got it, you know? And so I did. I just let go and I just trusted him. And you know what happened? He gave me the answer. I mean, it was clear as a day. But I couldn't get it before because I was striving. Does that make sense? Does that help? Praise the Lord. God's so good. Yeah, you do have a prophetic mantle on you. I don't know if you know that or not. Yeah. You do have a prophetic mantle. And that's being developed, you know, and you move prophetically. But I think that the opportunities to move prophetically are going to increase, okay? But just know this, the prophetic mantle that is on you is an evangelistic prophetic mantle.
Interesting.
Thanks. Is that right? Okay. Just want to make sure.
They know
it. They do know it? Oh, okay. Sounds like it. It's a lot easier to prophesy when people go, yeah, that's right, that's right. Yeah, then give me, now I'm all jacked up. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lewis, you got somebody I missed? No? Praise the Lord. Well, stand to our feet. Next week we got Richard Moll coming, so good guy. He's got some books, teaches on how to hear from the Lord. I don't know what he's going to teach on, but I'm looking forward. I just met the brother a few months ago. Hearts seem to be knitted, and looking forward to that. I'm going to try to get this guy that had this near-death experience. I think I shared this before. He's out of Texas, and he had some kind of a throat cancer that wrapped around his airway, and actually he died three times, and ended up going to heaven. And he was without air for so long that his brain turned into mush. And they actually have, it's a documented miracle, by the way, it happened in 2024, and they did scans of his brain. And so when he was heaven, God told him that he couldn't send him back because his body was destroyed, and if he sent him back, he wouldn't be able to do anything. And then later on, after he was walking with Jesus, Jesus said, I can send you back, and I would send you back, but I'm going to send you back with some caveats. And one of the things he says, I got to give you a new brain, new kidneys, new something else, and you will recall everything that we've had in our conversation. And the doctors, meanwhile, back on planet Earth, his wife won't turn off the machines. They got him on machines, you know, keep him alive. And she won't turn them off because I think they had some kind of living will. And apparently, when the Lord sent him back, he squeezed his wife's hand, and his wife was saying, hey, he's squeezing my hand, if I'm recalling the story right. And doctor goes, that's just a reflex. When somebody's dead, they do that. And so the doctor, they're all trying to get her to unhook him, trying to convince him. And so the doctor he rolled up his stool or whatever, and if you're in there, raise both your hands, and just yelled at him and just wanted to show his wife, and just like that. I mean, the guy is such an average Joe. He was not a church-going Christian. He just, you know, he was really ashamed that he didn't really go after the Lord or whatever, but it's quite a remarkable story. But he's so real the way he talks. But he God gave him a perfect memory back to when he was 1 year. He can recall things from 1 year old. I mean, it's amazing. You know, this guy's, I can tell he's not real seasoned on giving his testimony either. It's just because he's kind of being interviewed. So pray about that I can get him. I'd like to bring him here, because when he was walking with Jesus, Jesus talked to him about a lot of things about you know, heaven and the new heavens and new earth, our pets in heaven. Your pets will be there. Yep. Apparently they can communicate. They can't talk, but they, you know, somehow you can communicate with your pets. All kinds of different. Also, he said that that babies that were aborted, that the if the person's a Christian or whatever, when they go, they actually will raise that child.
Beautiful.
In heaven.
Beautiful.
Yeah. That there are children there too. It's an amazing testimony. So, but he's got a book out called 44 Hours in Heaven. If you want to look it up, but I think I'd like to have him here. I haven't had anything like that before, but. I think it would be give some people hope that don't know about that. Well, Father, we just thank you for what you've done in this place. Lord, Father, I ask that this word would go deep within our hearts, Lord, that you would send water upon it, Lord, and cause an increase. Father, we all need to renew our minds. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to show us the areas that are not renewed, to give us the principles and the strategy, Lord, to renew our minds in areas, Lord, that we have not done that yet. Father, I thank you for your goodness. It's been so good to be in your presence tonight. We just bless you. We just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer for anything,